The halacha distinguishes between two types of karbanos. There is a karban yachid and a karban sibur. Karban yachid is a karban that a person brings because he wants to volunteer it, but because he's obligated to bring it. And a karban sibur is a karban that the whole klal yisrael is obligated to bring. You have to feed him and musaf him. The karban talmid, which is brought every day, the karbanos hamusaf, which are brought on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh. So the halacha requires that the korbanos sibur should be paid for by the machzis hashekel money. The korban yachid is paid for by each private individual's money. If I'm obligated to bring a korban, or if I set upon myself a neder to bring a korban, I have to pay for that korban myself. Mor learns that from a pasuk that there is an institution of makdish al menashe kapa bo chaveiro. I can donate, let's say someone else has to bring a korban pesa, someone else was mechal Shabbos b'shegeg and has to bring a korban. And he can't afford it, or even if he can't afford it, it doesn't make a difference. So there is a possibility, because more than that, from a special pasuk, I could be magdish the carbon, amanashi is kapah b'chaver, in order that the other person should be yotzei his mitzvah. So during the Bai Sheni, there was a lot of machlokes, a lot of strife in the Beis Hamikdash between the tzdukim and the grushim. The tzdukim were the ones who didn't follow the Torah Shabbat Peh. So the tzdukim said that just like on the level of a korban yochid, a person can donate a korban amanashi is kapah b'chaver, so too on the level of a korban sibur, one person can pay all the money and offer the korban sibur on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. And the Chachamim said that this is not acceptable. That halacha only applies by korban yochid. That there's such a thing. There's a special pasuk that teaches us that such a thing exists. Magdish amanashi is kapah b'chaver. I'm magdish the korban. And you should get the kapara. So that pasuk, it's a Gemara Nazir, that pasuk only applies to a korban yachid, doesn't apply to a korban sibur. So this was the big debate. And the Gemara Menachos in the first of the Maamar Kaimis lists off several of the holidays that were established during the period of the second Beis Hamikdash. That's called the Megillas Tainis, a listing. The Megillah, because it was in Fiksav, it was written down at the time that the Torah Shabbat Peh was still being transmitted orally. So Megillas Tainis was written down and lists off all the holidays during the course of the year that were instituted during the period of the second Beis Hamikdash. Starts with Nissan, here. See, here it says, Mirashi Archa de Nissan. There was a Yom Tov that lasted for 8 days, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until the 8th of Nissan. He took him tmido. What do you mean, he took him tmido? That the Tzedukim said it's acceptable if one get one balabas, and they want to put a big plaque up that Mr. So-and-so donated all the money this year on behalf of all the Karbanos people for the whole year. And he pays for everything, and he understands that it's on behalf of the tzibur. So the Chachamim said that that's not acceptable. So the halacha requires, we know the halacha requires all the korbanos tzibur have to be paid for by the mamon hatzibur, by the mach. That's what the machzah shekel is all about. Machzah shekel is that everybody has to bring a half of a shekel, and you pay with that money for the korbanos tzibur. How do you determine how much machzah shekel is? It's not always going to be machzah shekel. The Mishnah says in Shkolin, based on Sukkim in Ezra Nehemiah, that when he came back and they built the second Beis Hamikdash, they didn't just give Machzah Shekel. Everybody gave Darkona Shel Zohar. Everybody gave gigantic golden coins. What was that all about? So there's a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid in the second of the Marmukainis. What was that all about? So the Ravid writes very poshut. Ravid writes, every year you have to figure out how many Karbanos Tzibur are you going to need. Is it a Shana Mulberes? Is it a Shana Pshuta? If it's a Shana Mulberes, you're going to need an extra month. You're going to need an extra month's worth of karbanos. Shana Pshuta, you're going to have less. You have to approximate what's the general world Jewish population. Then you have to get the experts to approximate what percentage of the population are going to give. Then you have to approximate how many people are going to give on time. It doesn't help who's going to give. The Mishnah says that there used to be different boxes in the Beis Hamikdash. One box was for Shkolim Chadoshim, Taklan Chadatin. The other box was for Taklan Atikin, old Shkolim, whoever didn't give. Someone is 85 years old, and he realizes, hey, he never heard of this mitzvah Machzah Shekel, so he has to give all the Machzah Shekel from all the years, from all the past years, and he puts it in another box. So that's not going to help for the purpose of purchasing the Karbanos Tzibur for this year. So they have to assess the situation, try to figure out, is it going to be Oshana Mulberes? How many people are going to give money? How many people are going to give on time? How many people can you rely on? So the Ravid says, if you have a very tiny group that you're relying on, in the beginning of the period of the Bai Sheni, they couldn't rely on the Jews in Chutz Lord. They were bovel, they're not going to send their money. They had to rely on the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Jews in Eretz Yisrael was just a handful of people. There was hardly anybody there. So they had to tax everybody. Everybody had to give way more than a matzah shekel. Either pasuk says ha'asher lo yarbeh, the wealthy man is not allowed to give more. So they write it. All the mafarshim explain. It doesn't mean no one's allowed to give more than matzah shekel. No one's allowed to give more than anybody else. No one's allowed to give less than anybody else. Everybody gives exactly the same amount of money. But how much do they all give? They don't always give matzah shekel. Matzah shekel is the minimum. Even if you have a billion zillion Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, they're all going to give, all good yekis, they're all going to give on time. All the money's going to be there on time. They're going to have more than enough money to take care of. The halacha says you can never get away with less than matzah shekel. But you normally, under normal conditions, they always needed way more than matzah shekel. And probably in no 2 years, it could well be that in no 2 years, was it the same? For 1 year they would say, this year matzah shekel, we assess everybody $35. Next year they say they had run away with more than enough money, so they say this year we assess everybody $30. $30 enough. Next year they say they have too little, say they want $32. Every year it'll be different. And this fellow who reaches the age of 85 and he realizes he never participated in the matzah shekel, and he wants to make up, he has to give, well, last year it was $35, the year before it was $32, the year before it was $29, the year before it was $85. Has to give different amounts for all the different years if he wants to be yoitzer before he dies. If he wants to put it in the Taklan Atikin box, the gigantic pushkis, and the Beis HaMikdash to put the money. So this is how the Raibit explains the Mishnah. Then the beginning of the period of the Vaisheni, the Psukim say in Ezra, Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, that they gave Darkon Shalzot, they gave golden coins. What was that all about? So the Raibit says, because there was such a small group of people that you had, who were taxed to pay all the money. They couldn't rely on the Jews involved. They weren't going to participate. So everybody had to give way more than their share, and everybody gave the same amount. So that's ha'osha layab, but no one's giving more than anybody else. But ha'dal layam, no one's giving less than anybody else. If you can't afford it, so you don't give. But you don't give less. You don't give less than the amount. This halacha of machzis ha'shekel, the Mishnah in Bechorvis, in the third of the Mar Mekorvis, says that for the purpose of pidyon ha'ben, it's not necessary davka to give cash. We're going to get to the Rambam soon. The Rambam has something very important to say. We're going to get to the Rambam. It doesn't go in the order of my presentation, but we'll get this. The Mishnah says in Chorus and Daf Mem Tes and Reis that when one is blessed with a baby boy and they want to do the mitzvah pidyon haben, it's not necessary to give davke kesh. The halacha says that shava kesed is just as good. He sometimes attends a pidyon haben, and the kohen says he wants a becher. He wants a mezuzah. He doesn't want it. They go there. They go to the store. They buy him a mezuzah. And they give him a mezuzah. It's not even a hider mitzvah to give dafke kesef as opposed to shava kesef. We do it all the time by wedding. We give a ring. We don't give kesef. We give shava kesef. So that's acceptable. So the Mishnah says that the kulam nifte mekesef and shava kesef chutz min hashkolim. The matzah hashekel, we don't apply this principle of shava kesef. Kesef, the halacha requires that you have to give dafke kesef. And the Gemara says that there, in the fourth of the Mar Mekorvis, the Gemara adds on to the Mishnah that there are three exceptions to the rule where the din requires davke kesef as opposed to shor kesef. One is machzis hashekel. One is pidyon ma'aser sheni. That's a popular din. Whenever in Eretz Yisrael today, when you have ma'aser sheni and you have to be paid the ma'aser sheni, so you cannot be paid on shor kesef. You have to be paid the davke on kesef. What's the definition of kesef? That's an important thing. What's the definition of kesef? Kesef means legal tender. In that country, so let's say I live in America and I want to be paid in my sheni. I buy Israeli products, and the Rabbanot says they're not responsible for the hafrash of trumas and maizes on anything that's sold in Chutz Lo'ar. So I buy Israeli products, I have to be mafrish trumas and maizes. Otherwise, I'm eating tevel, not allowed to eat tevel. So I'm mafrish my sheni, and then I want to be paid in the maizes sheni. So I live in America, so Israeli money is not legal tender in America. It doesn't help that Breuers writes in their newsletter that Rabbi Neuvir, the author of the Shemir Shabbos Kosher, is very kind, and he allows anyone who reads his book to use his Truta Hamura in Eretz Yisrael. His Truta Hamura is Israeli money. It doesn't help. If we're here in America, if we're playing in Ma'aser Sheni in America, it doesn't help that he's kind enough to give us permission to use his Israeli coin. The Israeli coin is considered Shavah Kesef as far as America is concerned. So just a Shaila, whether if I'm in New York, and my Sushane is in South Africa, and the cash is in Eretz Yisrael, so which coin counts? Does it depend where the person is, or does it depend where the my Sushane is? The two girsis, the Rambam and the Rabbi have two girsis in the Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma, but it does not depend where the money is. I would have said it should depend where the money is. It says that that's the favorite, not. That's not one of the options. The two alternatives are whether it depends where the person is who's doing the act of feeding my Sushane, or does it depend where the Ma'aser Sheni is? But it doesn't depend. So if I'm in New York and the Ma'aser Sheni is in New York and the money is in Eretz Yisrael, Israeli money isn't going to help. Halacha, that's Shavah Kesef. As far as an American is concerned, that's Shavah Kesef. You can be Mekadosh and Isha with Shavah Kesef. That's not a problem. But for Pidyon Marzusheni purposes, the Hamatzah Shekel purposes, and then the third din also, the third din is only a din with the Rabbanim. When you buy a korban oilas riyo, a pesach shlois silkis, and the din requires that you have to pay in cash for the din, for the korban. That's a din with the Rabbanim. Rashi gives a whole explanation why. Okay, how much is the minimum amount of matzah shekel? How much do you have to give? Matzah shekel, a half of a shekel. So let's work backwards a little bit. How much is pidyon abed? Pidyon abed is 5 shekel. The matzah shekel is 1/10. A pidyon aben. So how much does anybody give for the purpose of the pidyon aben? What's the law? The biggest chumer, how much does anybody give for the purpose of pidyon? I think the biggest machmirim don't give more than $25. I don't think anybody gives more than $25. How do you determine how much you're supposed to give? So if you look at the fifth of the Maor Mekoymis, there's a thin sefer written by the Stipler. He was the brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. He wrote quite a few thin svar. every Masitli has another thin little sefer, nothing scary. And this thin little sefer is about Shiurim Shalter. How much is a Gezais, how much is a Revias, how much is a Tefach, and an Amo, and so on and so forth. So he speaks about Pidyon Abed. So he makes you the calculation. He says that it's 96 grams of pure silver. And he says, Baris and Nogim Liftain, 100 grams of pure silver. Then he gives you to give 100 grams. You have to find out the day the baby reaches the age of 31 days, Yom Lamed Aleph, in your community, depends where the baby is. In different parts of the world, and the pure silver may sell for different amounts of money. So let's say if you live in New York, and on the day that the baby reaches the age of 31 days old, so how much would 100 grams of pure silver sell for? So that's how much he's supposed to give for pidyon abed. So 1/10 of that, he's going to be for matzah shekel. So let's say, for argument's sake, let's say you would give $25 for pidyon abed. That's the biggest chumer. I don't think anybody gives so much. Give $25 for, how much is 100 grams of pure silver? Anybody know?
3 ounces, a little more than 3 ounces.
So how much does it sell for now? How much?
$20.
$20, right? Make it $21. Okay, $21. Try to throw in a bonus. Okay, so how much is 1/10 of that?
$2.10.
So that's the matzah shekel. Strictly speaking, that's how much you should give the matzah shekel. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch writes in number 7 in the Maor Mekoymis, Ramon writes that we have a minig to give matzah shekel before Purim, zecher the matzah shekel that they used to give in the days of the Beis Hamikdash. So he says you should give not less than a half of the coin, which is yotze b'ayis ha'medina. Why should it be not less than half of the coin that's yotze b'ayis ha'medina? Where does that come from? So that's based on the Rambam's pshat that we left out before. Number 2 of the Maor Mekoymis, so the Rambam is grappling with the Mishnah in Shkolim. The Mishnah in Shkolim quotes a pasuk in Ezra Nehemiah that says, when they came back in the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, so instead of giving Matzah Shekel, normally they gave Darkon Shel Zov, they gave gigantic golden coins. So why should they give, why they give more than Matzah Shekel? So the Rambam claims that the din is, you always have to give a minimum of a Matzah Shekel. He agrees with the Raivit. If it turns out that Matzah Shekel is not enough to fund the Korbanos, of course you have to tax everybody to give $35, $100 each, if they're not enough. But he claims that the reason why, in the beginning of the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, everybody was taxed to give Darkon Shel Zohov, was because the golden coins were the Matzah HaYotze B'Ois HaMedina, and the Matzah Shekel has to be a minimum of the matzah shekel so far, calculated based on the 10 grams of pure silver, 1/10 of pidyon aben. Pidyon aben, the minhag is you give 100 grams of pure silver, strictly speaking 96 grams, so you should give 9.6 grams of pure silver, 10 grams of pure silver for the purpose of matzah shekel. But if the matbeah yotze b'ayis ha'medina is a larger coin, and a half of that is going to be more than the 10 grams of pure silver. So then the Rambam says, that's the pshat in the pasuk, that's the pshat in the Mishnah. You have to give a matzis of that. And when they came back in the beginning of the Bai Sheni, the matbeah yotze b'ayis ha'medina was Darkon Shel Zohov. They had these gigantic golden coins. That's why they had to give a matzis of that coin. The Raivit makes fun of this. He says, how can that be? We know that at the beginning of the period of the Bai Sheni, they were extremely poor. The people were so poor, they were penniless. How can it be that the matbeah yotze b'ayis ha'medina was so gigantic? who was walking around with such a coin. They couldn't afford even a grush. They couldn't afford a pruta. So all of a sudden, they're walking around with gigantic golden coins. So he rejects the whole pshat of the Rambam. But this pshat of the Rambam apparently has been accepted by the Rambam. That's why the Rambam says the meaning is that he gives a maxis of the Mazbeah Hayotze Bais and Medira. The Rambam's quoting it from the Maharil, from earlier generations. Rambam was in the 1500s. So he quotes it from the Maharil, is quoting it from earlier, one or two centuries before the days of the Rambam. But the minhag was that they always used to give machzis of the Mazbeah Hayotze Bais and Medira based on this Rambam. And in fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the sixth of the Marmikomis that the minhag in Europe was that they used to give 5 rubles for pidyon aben purposes. So Rav Moshe works out a whole calculation, how much are you supposed to give for the purpose of pidyon aben? We said supposed to give 100 grams of pure silver. Apparently it turned out that the 5 rubles was way more than the 100 grams of pure silver. So why is the minhag that they gave so much? So he says the minhag was based on the Rambam. The Rambam says with respect to machzis ha-shekel that you have to give a machzis. If it's a larger amount of money, you have to give a machzis of the matbeh ha-yotze bois ha-medino. So the Chachma Sodom says that the minig is that the Rambam's opinion applies also for pidyon aben. You have to give 5 shkolim. So $5 is worth more. We say today that the $5 is worth less. It's really $20 or so. You can't get away with $5. But the $5 would turn out to be more than what would be required for pidyon aben, we would insist on giving $5, because matbeah right in America is $1. So you have to give, based on that Rambam, you have to give the $5. When exactly do you have to bring the matzis ha-shekel money? So the Gemara establishes, based on Sukkim, that the fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash begins from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. In every budget, you have to determine when your fiscal year begins. So the Halacha says that the new Karbonis Sibur starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan have to be paid for by the new Machdus HaShekel money. You have to collect sometime before Rosh Chodesh Nisan to have the money prepared to purchase the new Karbonis Sibur on Rosh Chodesh Nisan with the new Machdus HaShekel money. Every year you have to give Machdus HaShekel. It's hard to say for Tavshin Samachet. If it begins in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, goes to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. You can't call it, but the year begins from the Rosh Hashanah, and this is halfway into the year. You have to say, from this in Tavshin Samachay till this in Tavshin Samachvav, every year it has to have its own Machzis HaShekel. What if the Eved, you purchase the Karbonis Tzibur from private money, not from Machzis HaShekel money, so the Gemara says, you're not Yoytze. That was the Machlokes, that was the dispute during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash between the Sukkim and the Kushim, the first of the Marmikomis, so the Gemara assumes that you're not Yoytze with the Eved. But what if you purchase the Karbonis Tzibur with the last year's Machzis HaShekel money? The Bezin was a little lazy, other people were a little lazy, and they didn't collect the money on time. And they don't have enough money to purchase the Karbonis Tzibur with the new money on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the Gemara says in the 10th of the Marmikomis, that halacha that we learn out from a pasuk, that you have to bring the new Karbonis Tzibur with the new money, is only a mitzvah l'chatchila. But for the Eved, Mhevi min ayoshan, if you brought the new Karbonis Tzibur from the old, last year's money, you're missing the mitzvah. So why do we lay, the Mishnah says in the 8th of the Marmikomis, the Mishnah Megillah says, if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos, then you lay Parsha Shkolim on that Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls betoch HaShabbos, in the middle of the week, then Magdimim L'Shabbos. Then we lay Parsha Shkolim, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar. What is that all about? So the Gemara explains in the 9th of the Marmikomis, the Gemara Megillah, and that Mishnah explains that we have a Machlokes Hatanoim regarding a Din D'Oraisa. Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, Sholem Adarshim Hilchos Achag, 30 days before Pesach, or 30 days before any Yom Tov. The Gemara here says it's not only 30 days before Pesach, it's 30 days before the Chi of Machzis HaShekel. Whenever there's a mitzvah that has to be fulfilled at some time in the future, the 30 days before you have to start thinking about how you're going to fulfill the mitzvah. If you have a mitzvah of davening, it's every day we daven. Well, you have to prepare 30 days before. It's an ongoing mitzvah, putting out tefillin. Let's say 30 days before a child becomes bar mitzvah, he should start thinking, how am I going to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin? How am I going to fulfill talis, or whatever mitzvah he's going to start doing at the age of bar mitzvah? Usually by us, they do everything except the tefillin. But 30 days before you begin to do a mitzvah that you haven't been doing for a while, you have to start thinking, how am I going to do that mitzvah and start preparing? So when it comes to Hilchos Pesach, they're so complicated, you have to start learning 30 days before Pesach. You have to, on Purim it says, you have to start learning Hilchos Pesach. With respect to the other dinim, Sometimes the dinim are not so complicated, so at least you have to make an announcement. So 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we make an announcement. The best time to make an announcement is in shul. They had newspapers, we would certainly put an advertisement in the newspaper. You make an announcement in shul on Shabbos when everybody's there. You lay in parshas, so everybody should know that starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we have to purchase the new Karbonis Tikva with the new Matzah Shekel money. So everybody has to shake a leg and bring in the Matzah Shekel. So the Gemara raises a question: should I say that this practice that's recorded in the Mishnah, that starting from Rosh Chodesh Adar, they already announced that everybody should bring the Matzah Shekel? Should I say that this practice only followed the opinion of the Chachamim who hold Shloshim Yom Kodem HaPesach, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, 30 days before, but Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is of the opinion that 2 weeks is enough, Shtei Shabbos is enough, so according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, why do you always have the practice of laying Parsha Shkolim a month before Rosh Chodesh Nisan? You just laying 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Nisan would be enough. So the Gemara explains, no, it's 2 weeks before they start to force you to pay the money. That on the 15th of Adar, that's when they start, what does it say? The Chamisha Osabo, on the 15th day of Adar, that's on Shushan Purim, Shulchan is Yoshvin Ba Medina. That's when they start collecting the money, that's when they start pressuring everybody to start giving in the Matzah Shekel money. So we want to announce 2 weeks before that everybody should give the money. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's 2 weeks before the date that you have to hand in the money. According to the Chachamim, it's a month before the date that the Beis Din is going to purchase the Karbonas Tzivah. That's the idea behind the reading Parsha Shkolim. Exactly who has to give Matzah HaShekel? So the Mishnah says that the women are not obligated to give. If they want to donate, that's wonderful. Like if a woman wants to volunteer to fulfill Mitzvah Saseh, she has Mangra, so she has Skak. Just a different opinion whether she recites a Bracha, Shekhidishonah, Bimitzvah, Shemitzimonu, Alantila Sluma. So the Sfardim follow the Rambam's opinion that she does not say a bracha, and Ashkenazim follow the opinion of Tosfos that she says a bracha. But the Gemara says this, everybody agrees that if a woman volunteers to fulfill the mitzvah, Saseh Shazman Grama, she has a Kima mitzvah, she has a schar, she gets reward. So if the woman, the Mishnah says, if the woman wants to volunteer to give Matzah Shekel, we would accept it. If a Nachri wants to volunteer to shake a lulu, we'll let him. Why to shake a lulu? Isn't that, he can't say a bracha, shake a shana, the mitzvah, and tzivan. That's out of the question. But if he wants to volunteer to shake the lulav, that's wonderful, isn't it? Hey, we come to Yovan Arayin and Sukkah. If the Yovan wants to sit in Sukkah, we let him sit in Sukkah. Just on can't say a bracha, shake the shanah, so it's one. But he can volunteer to do a mitzvah, why not? But an Achri cannot volunteer to give Matzah HaShekel. Matzah HaShekel only applies to the Jewish people. It only applies to one who is obligated to give Matzah HaShekel, and he pays his obligation. The women are also basically obligated. The women have the same kedushas Yisrael as the men, except that they have certain mitzvahs that if they don't want them, they don't have to do it. But it's really true that the Rabbeinu Tam says that a woman can recite a bracha, she kiddushana b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu al netilas lulav. It's really true, it's kiddushana b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu. Kiddushin Yisrael means chi of mitzvahs. It's not an abstract, what in modern Hebrew would be referred to as kiddusha arti lois. Naked kiddusha, abstract concept of kiddusha. Kiddusha means yimachoyi b'mitzvahs. We say Eretz Yisrael has kedusha. I mean, what do you mean Eretz Yisrael has kedusha? Shemivim menah ha'imer shtei alechem. They're a dinim. Beis Hamikdash has kedusha. They're a dinim. Kohanim have kedusha. They're a special dinim for Kohanim. Kohen Gadol has more kedusha. Don't say holy, holy, holy. What do you mean holy, holy brother? What do you mean holy brother? We're all mechuyim in mitzvahs, and non brothers are not mechuyim in the mitzvahs. So when you speak about a person who's holy, or a time that's holy, kedusha's man, or a place that's holy, means that there are certain mitzvahs that only apply at that time. So how come the women are exempt from the mitzvah? Says the Shazman Grama, doesn't mean that the women have a lower level of holiness, they have a lower level of kedusha. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his Shuvah, you see from the Chumash that it's not so. HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims the sermon of Esiak and the Sagan of Bnei Yisrael. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Jewish people, attend to Yuli, Mamlechas Kohen, and the Goy Kadosh, that all the Jewish people have kedusha Yisrael. The men and the women have the same level of kedusha. So that's why when the women, according to the practice of the Ashkenazim, the women recite the bracha and mitzvah says the Shazman Grama, how do they say sheker? Asher kedushana b'mitzvah yisav b'tzivan. It's not true. The answer is it is true. It's not the whole truth. It is true. The whole truth is asher kedushana b'mitzvah yisav b'tzivanu uftaranu. They have the kedusha at the same level as the men. Kedusha means the mechuyivim mitzvahs. And the Rabbanu Shalom said if they don't want to, there are certain mitzvahs that they don't have to fulfill. It's not the same as a nochri. Nachri doesn't have a kedusha Yisrael at all with respect to the lulav. If he wants to sit in sukkah, if he wants to shake the lulav, doesn't he? he wants to volunteer a mitzvah as an enemy to the earth, he can do that. But if the woman volunteers a mitzvah, such as Shazman Roma, it's something very different from the Nochri volunteering. So here it comes in, Halacha L'maaseh, the Nochri cannot volunteer Machzor HaShekel. Shkolim is not bo ben edem and edom. A Nochri can volunteer Korbanos, only a Nochri can volunteer to bring a Korban Oil, a Korban Shlomim. It's a Korban Edom. How you makrib the Korbanos, the whole discussion, but the Nochri can volunteer to bring the Korbanos and he'll bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. But a Nochri cannot volunteer Chatos, Osham, Korban Pesach, Kine Yoldos, Kine Zavim. Those are Korbanos that either you mechuyev and you bring it. If you're not mechuyev, you can't volunteer. Anisha can volunteer to give Matzah Shekel. Anisha is not that she's just doesn't have a Kedushas Yisrael with respect to the Matzah Shekel. She has the full Kedushas Yisrael, the same as the man. It's Kiddushana b'mitzvaysav, that's what Kedushas Yisrael means. It's all Kedusha means. Kedusha means that it's relevant with respect to mitzvahs, and the women have the same level of Kedushas Yisrael as the men, and they have an exemption. If they don't want to, they don't have to. So the Mishnah says the women, if they don't want to, they don't have to give Matzah Shekel. The Cherishah to the cotton, of course, don't have to give. The Ketanim are not obligated to keep any mitzvah. Here is a question. It says in the Mishnah, Katan is not obligated to give Matzah HaShekel. What age Katan? So this is a Machloikis HaRishonim. If you look at number 13, the Torah Tmima has an essay on yesterday's Parsha, a brief essay where he points out that there is a dispute among the Rishonim from what age on is a person obligated to give Matzah HaShekel. So the Pashtus is a Katan means before Bar Mitzvah, and after the age of Bar Mitzvah, he's obligated to give Matzah Shekel. So others have their two readings in the Yerushalmi, the two Girsis in the Talmud Yerushalmi. We don't have any Babli on Shkol, we only have Talmud Yerushalmi. So the Talmud Yerushalmi, there are two Girsis that the Rishonim had explicitly, whether the Mitzvah of Matzah Shekel begins after the age of 13, like all the Mitzvahs, or begins after the age of 20. Because in the Chumash, it talks about a different Matzah Shekel. Matzah Shekel for the purpose of figuring out how many soldiers you have for the army. You're not allowed to draft anybody into the army before the age of 20. In Eretz Yisrael, they do shalik yedid. They draft people at the age of 18. That's against Allah. During the Mohammed HaShechrua, they had everybody. My brother-in-law was before Bar Mitzvah. He was throwing bombs also. If you need everybody, so you need everybody there. But now they have enough people in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have to draft the people before the age of 20. Shalik yedid, Allah says, you're not supposed to take into the army before the age of 20. You have to have people who are more mature. They mature at a very young age. You know, after they're in the army, they see people getting killed, and losing their limbs, so they mature, unfortunately, before their time. But the Halacha says you're not supposed to draft people before the age of 20. So there's in Chumash, it's talking about a different Matzah Shekel. In order to take a census, there is no mitzvah to take a census every year. They're not allowed to take a census. If you have to take a census in order to establish how many men you have who are roy for the army, so then you have everybody pay Matzah Shekel, those from the age of 20 and up. But the mitzvah Matzah Shekel Adoris is not for the purpose of the army, it's not for the purpose of a census. It's for the purpose of funding the Karbonis Tzibur. So that's a machlokes, whether one after Bar Mitzvah has to give or one after the age of 20 has to give.
What are the purposes of funding the Karbonis Tzibur? Is that from the Tzibur by Matzah Shekel? You said earlier,
right. Oh, you missed. We explained it. Okay. What it means is that Oshim is not allowed to give more than anybody else. Everybody has to give the same. But the Bezim may tell everybody you have to give $35. Oshim Layabra, no one is allowed to give more or less than anybody else. But it doesn't mean that everybody gives the Matzah Shekel. That's how the Rishonim is.
They do the calculation, how do they figure
the
what's
going to be the life? They have to assume that hardly anybody's going to get. They're experts in fundraising. So the experts are saying, well, no, what percentage of the women who are not quick? They're wealthy women, they're poor women who want to participate, why not? So they have to guess how many women do they think are going to get. Yeah.
But, as applicable to the community. So therefore, the Shliach Tzibur says, Shalom Asani Isha, can a woman say, I'm married to that because she's answering to the needs of the community?
She can certainly say, I'm married. The bracha is meaningful for the man, yeah. Even though for her it's not meaningful, she doesn't say Shalom Asani Isha, but she can say, I'm married. Well, she's angry. There's no problem with saying I'm angry. So here the Ramor, in his commentary on the bottom of the tour, Shulchan Aruch, writes that there were different customs on Leil Purim. On the Sesta, on Leil Purim, the custom is that you give Matzah Shekel in the shul. So there were different practices, starting from what age on should they give the Matzah Shekel. So the Ramah quotes on the bottom of the tour, in the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't quote it. He says that pregnant women used to give Matzah Shekel in case they'd have a baby boy.
Hmm.
And then he says, and others would insist that the Yalodim should give. Child, the Hegel Lechinuch should give. And he says that the others held, no, only from the age of 20 on. If you want to give Matzah Shekel before the age of 20, we'll accept it. Just like if an Isha wants to give Matzah Shekel, we would accept it. So if a person before the age of 20 wants to give Matzah Shekel on the day of Yom, they would accept it. But Ramah says that there was such a custom that the Yalodim would also give. But he thinks that, strictly speaking, the minhag should really be only from the age of 20. He's working with the assumption that on the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the obligation to give Matzah Shekel only began after the age of 20. The Torah Tmima quotes over here a comment from the Kasa D'Harsana. The Kasa D'Harsana, there was in the 1700s, a book was printed that supposedly was a collection of Tshuvas HaRosh. It's called the Besamim Rosh. Turned out later on that it was a forgery. Mm-hmm. He has all kinds of crazy things that clearly were not written. He says the laws of Taras HaMashpacha don't apply to this man. Because none of the laws of Tumah Vidar. The Rosh wrote that. So what the Rosh write, what the Hilchot's leader? Obviously it's a forgery. It has other kooky things there. But originally they didn't know. So apparently they didn't read it before the Nadi Yudhi gave a Haskamah. They just said, because he knew the fellow's father. He didn't know the gangster himself. He knew his father was a famous rabbi. So he assumed like father, like son. So he gave a Haskamah to the Sefer. Rabbi Kiveger, every so often on Shulchan Aruch, and his comments on the Shulchan Aruch, will tell you to look in this Psalmim Rosh, the collection of the Tshuvas, and to the commentary that the fellow who forged the Tshuvas, he wrote his own commentary on it. He was a learned fellow. That's called the Kasa D'Harsana. So in the Kasa D'Harsana commentary, on the Besamim Rosh, he writes that the obligation to daven Musaf is only required of one who is obligated to bring Machzah Shekel. So in Shulchan Aruch said the Mishnah Berurah passing that women are not obligated to daven Musaf. Since the women were not obligated to pay Machzah Shekel, so the women were not obligated to daven Musaf. That's how the Mishnah Berurah passed. So the question is, what about children before the age of 20? Children. People after Bar Mitzvah, before the age of 20, are they obligated to daven Musaf? So the Kasa D'Harsana said, well, he put together two and two. He said, women are not obligated to daven Musaf because they're not obligated to give Matzah Shekel. And if you say that people till the age of 20 are not obligated to give Matzah Shekel, so if you put two and two together, they're not obligated to daven Musaf. Okay. They want to, they can volunteer to give Matzah Shekel, they can volunteer to daven Musaf, but you can't daven Bar Noma. So to daven Bar Noma, you have to be Mechuyid, you can't be Mosiyah Sarabi Dechai Vosim. So I have one of my children is one of my boys is before 20. So he always says if he want to get he knows how to daven nicely. So he always says, want to give me to daven Varam? Give me Shacharis, not give me Musaf, because Musaf is an issue with the Torah Tmim. Torah Tmim and 13 has this. He quotes this comment of the Kasa D'Harsana. The so it's a Choshen, which is a commentary on the Choshen Mishpat. They learn in the yeshivas. They learn for the Kama with the Choshen Mishpat with the so it's a Choshen. The Tzitz HaChoshen in number 14 has a famous kasha that he's bothered with. The Mishnah Shkolim says that if a person before a kotten doesn't have to give Matzah Shekel, but if he volunteers, we will accept it. If a Nochri volunteers Matzah Shekel, we don't accept it. If an Isha volunteers, we do accept. And if a kotten volunteers Matzah Shekel also, we do accept. So Frek Dar Kasha, who is the kotten who's volunteering? If he's before the age of 20, so I can understand he's 13, 14, 15, 18, 19. So of course, if he volunteers, he can be Magdish and Matzah Shekel, we understand. But if you say Kotten means before the age of Bar Mitzvah, so if he didn't, Kotten can't be Magdish anything. So what do you mean, how do you accept it? How can you accept it? So he says, and this Mishnah is a raya to my thesis. He has an ongoing machloikas, there's a machloikas with Yosef Karo and others, and every generation this was a machloikas. What's the din of Hefka Bezen Hefka? With the Rabbanon, all the takanas the Rabbanon in the area of Dini Mominus rest on the principle of Hefke Bezna Hefke. The Bezna has a right to be Machke Yomam. So can the Bezna declare, and Hefke Bezna Hefke is based on Pesukim HaChumash, it's a Din D'Oraisa, it's a biblical din. Can the Bezin declare that my money belongs to you? They can declare that my jacket is Hefker. So if the jacket becomes Hefker, so Parapet is up, whoever grabs it can keep it. Can they declare that my jacket now belongs to you, and you are the owner, Minatera, of my jacket? Or is that already too much? Only Hefker Bezin, but not Lahaknas Lacher. Lahaknas Lacher, we say Hefker Bezin, Hefker also, but maybe that only works with the Rabban. Maybe that's the extension of Hefker Bezin, Hefker only works with the Rabban. So this is a big debate that all of the Rishonim and all Achronim are involved in. Whether the Kinyan, the Rabbanan is Moel on the level of their Isa. Do we say Hefker Bezin Hefker, even Lahaknas Lacherim in HaTorah? Or is it only with the Rabbanan? So he quotes, the Tzitz HaKhoshim quotes, if you look on the last line, on the page, he quotes the Rabbi Yeruchem, says that it only works with the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yosef Kari disagrees with Rabbi Yeruchem and he says that it works with HaTorah. And he says, I see a raya from this Mishnah Shkolim to my position, to the Beis Yosef's position. The Mishnah says that a child before Bar Mitzvah, he said, unless you've got to learn cotton knees before the age of 20. But then he is already after Bar Mitzvah. He says, according to those who showed him will learn, that the cotton spoken of in the Mishnah, because one is not even Bar Mitzvah. So how can he give at the age of 10? How can he magdish something to the Beis HaMikdash is not even chal? So it's a raya that since when the Rabbanim, they made a takana, that a cotton who reaches, he reaches the age of 7, 8, the Rabbanan, he has the ability to make a kinyan, so that kinyan works even in a Torah. So that's why the Hekdash is Chal Min HaTorah. That's the argument that the Tzitz HaKhoshen presents. There is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch that's called the Nesivus HaMishpat, that's studied in the Yeshivas, and number 15, he often disagrees with the Tzitz HaKhoshen, putting it mildly. So he disagrees over here. He thinks like Rabbeinu Yeruchim. He thinks that Hefker Bezin Hefker only works Min HaTorah to declare my jacket is Hefker. But to declare that the jacket belongs to someone else, the maximum that's only going to be with the Rabbanan, doesn't work in our Torah. So how does it work over here? How can the cotton before the age of Bar Mitzvah, if you learn that the Mishnah goes cotton means before Bar Mitzvah, how does the cotton have the ability to be magdish, the maksa shekel to the Beis HaMikdash? So he says, no. The cotton, the takvanas chachamim that the cotton can make kinyanim, makes it that the maksa shekel that the cotton puts in the big push becomes hefker. It no longer belongs to the cotton, becomes hefker. When the gizbah shall hegdish takes all the money out, then the gizbah picks it up. So he makes it a kinyan. So since he picked it up, he made a kinyan. So that becomes the kinyan in HaTorah.
Why does he have to pick it up?
The fact that it's in there. But the chotzer is kind of a question. Is chotzer kind of a hegdish? Tosis has a chiddush. The chotzer isn't kind of a hegdish. The Ramban disagrees. Chotzer is kind of a hegdish. Not like this, but the chotzer is kind of a hegdish. So either the pushka is the pushka of hegdish. So hegdish is kind of with a kinyan chotzer. Or the gizbah picks it up in his kind. They're both very difficult. The both explanations, both given by the Tzitz and the Nesivus, are both really not acceptable. For the following reason, you can't donate Matzah. If a Nochri wants to give Matzah Shekel, it says in the Mishnah, you don't accept it. The only Matzah Shekel that's accepted is one is Mechuyev, it's a Dovah Shebechoyev. Matzah Shekel, only if you're Mechuyev, then you can give. Noshim, we say Noshim are Mechuyev. They have a Kedushis, it's all the same as the men. So the Noshim are Kedushonah, the Mitzvahs of Tzivonah, Uftaronah. But the women, they start off with a Chiyev. So when they give the Machzah Shekel, they're giving to fulfill their fear. If you're saying that a cotton before Bar Mitzvah really can't be Magdish, so how does it work? Hefker, Bezin, Hefker, you know, from left field. Bezin comes and they wave a magic wand and they declare. So what do you mean, Bezin? Should apply to Nachri too. That's like the money is coming from an outside source. That's not acceptable. The money is only acceptable for Machzah Shekel purposes if you're Mechuyev and you're giving to fulfill your fear. Hefker Bezin Hefker, or the Hegdish is kind of with the Kinyan Chotzer, or the Gizbah picks it up and is kind of, that's like a Nachri donating. Yeah, but we don't accept donations of Matzah Shekel money. What?
A cotton
has, but he's a lot by Das. He's a lot by Das, he can't be Machna. So the Tzai says, even though Minatari can be Machna, but once the rabbis wave their magic wand and they have the power to do that, Hefker Bezin Hefker, so the money becomes Hegdish. Yeah, but the money becomes Hegdish through an outside source, not through the cotton's Magdashit. You have to be Magdashit to shame your obligation. So the both answers that they both gave, the Tzoyce's answer with the Nesivus answer, are both very difficult. Both very difficult. So what you have to say is like the other commentary said, when the Mishnah says if the cotton started to give, you accept it, and then it binding become minik toiv, and he has to continue to give, it means if the father gave, the child before Bar Mitzvah can't give. That's an extraneous source.
We pass in 13 or 21 about the shekel.
Shulchan Aruch says the minig is that children before Bar Mitzvah give also.
But it's just a minig. This is just a
minig.
But who gives?
But
what
that's
saying,
the thing.
What you're saying, though, is that the father should give, because the child's not making a king, so there's really nothing happening.
No, but yes, it does make a difference. We're not really back this shit. But yes, the whole thing is charity. If you want to give more than Matzah Shekel, there's a value. No, but yes, it is a problem. But yes, let me just conclude with this. But yes, it's a major problem. The Mishnah says in Shkolim, in number 16, that if somebody sets aside Matzah Shekel, or sets aside Bikurim Mizmarazer, so the Matzah Shekel becomes Kodesh, and the Bikurim becomes Kodesh. And if the Matzah Shekel becomes Kodesh, you're not allowed to use it for any purpose other than purchasing Karbonis Tzibur, which we don't do today. We don't take the Matzah Shekel money and buy Karbonis Tzibur. We don't have a base on Mikdash. So we take the Matzah Shekel money, we give it to different stocker purposes. So that's Moel Behegdash. So who instituted this crazy minute? You're not allowed to have such a minute. So this was instituted by the Gaonim in Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Gaonim, after the days of the Talmud. After the days of the Amoraim, the Rabbanus Amoraim, so the Gaonim, all the yeshivas were in need of money, and the fundraisers had to come up with a new gimmick. So the Gaonim in Eretz Yisrael instituted a new gimmick. Give your Machzah Shekel, Zechel, Machzah Shekel that they gave in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, and the Machzah Shekel, $2.10, what we say. If everybody gives $2.10, that would solve their problem. That was going to solve the problem. So the Gaonim and Bavel were extremely opposed. They said, you're not allowed to do that. The Gemara says, when a Balabasta buys flesh for Pesach, she's not allowed to say this flesh is for Pesach, because it may sound like the flesh is for Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to say that. That's why a broy is labeled, it says kosher al Pesach. You don't say kosher li Pesach, because kosher li Pesach may sound like it's kosher for the Korban Pesach. They say kosher an Pesach. So it's clear that the word Pesach means it's not correct Hebrew. They know it's not correct, but they go out of their way to be machmer to say kosher al Pesach, not kosher li Pesach. So no one should think that it's kosher for the Korban Pesach. So that's a din in the Gemara. You're not allowed to say bosses li Pesach. How can you say this is Matzah Shekel? It says Matzah Shekel money. You're not allowed to be machmer Matzah Shekel with manazer. It'll be a mikshol. Oh, so the Gaonim and Eretz Yisrael defended their fundraising gimmick. And they said that if you look in the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Shkol and quotes Reb Shimon says that Bikurim, if you mafish Bikurim is manazeh, it's Einon Kodesh. It's just not Chal. Bikurim is manazeh is not Chal at all. That's as far as what the Mishnah says. The Gemara in the Yerushalmi, we don't have any Babli. So the Gaon Eretz Yisrael didn't have the Talmud Yerushalmi. Period. We just had the Talmud Babli. So that we don't have any Talmud Babli on Shkol. So the Talmud Yerushalmi, which the Gaon Eretz Yisrael had access to, so they quote the Talmud Yerushalmi says on that Mishnah. The only thing Reb Shimon disagrees is about Bikurim Mizmanazeh. Oh, Shkolim, Kotshu, if you're Magdish, Shkolim Mizmanazeh, Matzah Shekel, it is Kodesh. Then it quotes a Braise with another version of Reb Shimon. Bene the Bene Lalo Kitshu. The Reb Shimon in the Mishnah doesn't only disagree on Bikurim Mizmanazeh, he disagrees on Matzah Shekel as well. That if he mafish Matzah Shekel Mizmanazeh, Reb Shimon holds it is not Chal. So what has got to do with us? Why should we pass like Reb Shimon? So the last line in the Yerushalmi says, Halachic Reb Shimon. We do Paschal like Reb Shimon over here. We do Paschal like Reb Shimon with the second version of Reb Shimon that not only Bikurim is Manazeh is not Chal, so the Matzah Shekel is Manazeh is also not Chal. So the Goyim and Babel said, and Kabbalah in the Kabbalah, if you have such a truth, they never heard of it. They didn't have a Talmud Yerushalmi on Shkol. They said, if that's what you tell us, we'll go along. But they were not happy about it. They said, Mehechetei said they're both. They said, who said we Paschal like Reb Shimon? Who said Reb Shimon disagrees even on Matzah Shekel Bizman Hazeh? So as a compromise, the Ramah quotes the Maharil that you should say that it's Zecher of Matzah Shekel. So the plate where you put your money should say in big letters, Zecher. No one should think that it's really Matzah Shekel. If you really give Matzah Shekel, the Goyim and Bavel hold that it's Kodesh and you're stuck and you can't use it for any purpose other than bringing the Karbonis Tzibur. It's a very fascinating essay. Just giving the historical background by Chief Rabbi Cook's brother. I think his name was Shmuel Chanukah Cook or something. There's a collection of essays on historical topics. An old essay about this one. About the development of this minhag in the days of the Gaonim, the way the Gaonim bubble were extremely opposed to it. And the minhag developed to stick with the practice of the Gaonim Eretz Yisrael. Okay, this is the story of Matzah Shekel, Bizman HaMikdash, and Bizman HaZeh. Okay, thank you very much.